On behalf of Carahsoft Technology Corporation and Veritas, we would like to welcome you to today's podcast, focused around 10 cybersecurity best practices that ransomware fears most. Today, our speaker, Rick Bryant, Veritas Healthcare CTO, will discuss the top 10 ways Veritas helps healthcare organizations like yours protect themselves from ransomware attacks.
Well, welcome everybody to our presentation on the things that ransomware fears most. I know it seems like that's all we talk about in today's world, ransomware or pandemic, but there's a reason for it, right? The ransomware is a serious threat to our critical infrastructure and specifically a threat to our healthcare environment. And at Veritas, we take this very seriously. You know, having built our products from the ground up with zero trust architecture, we are very well positioned to be able to help combat this attack against our healthcare systems. So with that, I wanted to introduce you to a new speaking series, the 10 best practices that ransomware fears most. So why are we talking about this today? This was a report from Aon, which is one of the largest cybersecurity insurers, and they have been tracking not only the breaches that have been claimed, but the ransomware. And they have shown a 311% increase from Q1 of 2019 to Q2 of 2021. Now, not only is that very worrisome in terms of the direction that the cyber criminals are operating, but it's very important for the people of this webinar to know that because of the costs associated with ransomware, cybersecurity insurance is increasing exponentially. Most of the customers we've worked with, when they go to renew their cybersecurity incidents, their premiums are going up from 2 to 6 times what they were paying for in the previous periods, and also only covering half of the amount of coverage that they would. So the fact that ransomware is perpetrating our environment is causing real-world costs to happen for our customers. And many of the things that are outlined in this presentation today are requirements for being able to get cybersecurity insurance. So please pay attention to each of these points and make sure that you and your organization is well-positioned to be able to protect your environments. So why are we targeting public sector, right? Personally, I've been tracking this for years in that I saw a correlation between very high value data. A medical record can be worth as much as $250 per record on the black market because of all the purposes that it can be used for. It can be used for Medicare fraud. It can be used for medical coverage. It can be used for identity theft. It's so much more than just a credit card value. But there's also a correlation between a low investment in security investment in healthcare. Typically, I see in highly regulated environments, they spend between 10 to 15% of their IT budget on security, whereas most of the healthcare organizations over the past 20 years have spent between 3 and 5%. That is all catching up with us, and it's being focused because we're in the middle of a pandemic. Our healthcare institutions have the critical knowledge that can not only be extremely valuable, but it can save lives. We also know that industries that are under duress are much more likely to pay. So they're being targeted on purpose. We know that there are thousands of caregivers that are just now started working from home via telehealth, and they don't necessarily have the training and support systems necessary to be able to fend off a phishing attempt. And let me tell you guys, these phishing attempts are very sophisticated. Whether it looks like your Amex card statement or a Coinbase, they can come in via text, they can come in via email. There's so many different threats. We also know that the hackers like to be dormant for the best time to strike. The most recent attack against the infrastructure, the Coursera service industry attack, happened over the 4th of July weekend, not by coincidence, but on purpose. That gave the hackers an extra 24 hours to be able to encrypt that data. So there may be ransomware lying dormant in your environment, just waiting for a critical COVID surge or some sort of pandemic type of effect. So what we at Veritas, we've aligned very carefully with the NIST cybersecurity model, and that we offer and provide guidance around being able to protect and safeguard your data. There's a lot of critical steps that have to be done in advance of an attack that if it's not done in advance, you cannot go back and recover. We also have a lot of technologies built into our solutions that will allow you to rapidly detect and contain an infection before it spreads out through your entire environment. But as everybody in the world knows, we've been the leader in data protection and recovery for over 30 years. And this is where Veritas really shines, not only in giving you the ability to recover, but the ability to recover at scale and at 5 to 8 times faster than our competition. When it really matters, Veritas can help you recover rapidly. So number one, I feel like doing the David Letterman, maybe I'm dating myself, the top 10 list. I should have started with 10 and moved to one. But the number one thing that you can do to protect your environment is to have prompt and systematic system updates. I know this is a challenge because we have such a diverse infrastructure, everything from virtual to physical. Legacy technologies are very pervasive in healthcare, but we have to rapidly identify the vulnerabilities. We have to stay on an up-to-date version of the software and firmware to be able to protect against these constant threats. And even after you've provided a patch, you need to be able to test to make sure that those patches have actually eliminated the vulnerability or remediated the vulnerability. It's also very important to not rely on end-of-life technology. I know a lot of organizations try to stretch their IT budgets. I know that 2020 was very hard on the healthcare system by shutting down all those discretionary services. It severely impacted our budgets. But if you try to extend the life or leverage end-of-life technology, you are putting yourself into a position of attack. Those older versions of software are very well known by bad actors. In fact, just recently, an old laptop that I had that I gave to my kids and they had eventually thrown away, I had one of the phishing attempts come in with an old password that I know because I didn't properly destroy that technology, right? So also with end-of-life software, patches and updates are not provided. So even when new vulnerabilities are coming out, your software vendors aren't going to be patching that because they have an end-of-life software agreement with that. And you have no support on that as well. So even a small amount of potential savings can create huge costs for your organization. And then finally, make sure that your endpoints, right? We always say that you're only as strong as your weakest link. And oftentimes our endpoints or our perimeter are our weakest link. Make sure that you're using a good virus protection and good malware protection software that you're constantly scanning, but protecting those endpoints. And make sure you have a good backup across those endpoints, right? Either a gold version of that, if you're storing the data centrally, or if it has unique or PHI on it, you have to provide a backup for that. And that doesn't matter if it's a desktop or it's a laptop or even a mobile device in today's world. So number one, prompt system updates. Number two, this should go without saying as well, is having frequent backups. At Veritas, we are very concerned about making sure that we protect the data. The data is the core and the critical. The applications can always be reloaded, but the data is unique and quite important to our organization, especially if it's PHI. HIPAA requires that we back up and protect PHI at all times and in all places. So regardless of if you're keeping your data centralized in an EMR or the core, or if you have patient care desktops or even pod desktops that have patient care information on it, and even extending into the cloud resources. Most people don't realize that even though the cloud can provide resiliency, it is the user's responsibility to protect that data and to secure that data. So we provide a technology that allows you to protect your data from edge all the way to the core, all the way to the cloud. And to expand on that a little bit, we've got best practices that we've had in place for years. The first and foremost is what we call our 3-2-1 strategy. It sounds like a countdown for a critical event, but what it really means is have 3 copies of your data. Have 2 of those copies either in separate locations or on separate media, and have at least 1 of those copies offsite. Now, we go on to more sophisticated practices such as air gapping and severely restricting that offsite location so that you have at least a way to be able to recover your environment. And we'll cover that later. But if you follow the 3-2-1 strategy, it is the best and most effective way to ensure that your data is protected. It's also critically important to know where your PHI and your critical information is. I have looked at studies and it costs on average $8 per record to properly secure it per HIPAA. And if you don't know where your PHI is, does that mean you're spending $8 for every record in your environment? Oftentimes, backups are considered a catch-all to be able to capture all that environment, all that information, and at least provide a platform to be able to recover. But knowing where your critical data is allows you to focus on that, focus those protections, and also to be able to leverage that information. It's also important to know that when new data sources are created, that that's pulled into your backup scheme. We leverage technologies that communicate with your storage arrays and your physical and virtual infrastructure that will automatically alert you when a new data set is created and it's not pulled into your backup policies. That is a great peace of mind to make sure that we're at least adhering to the requirement to back up all PHI. And then you have to also realize that your backup also is going to determine what your recovery point objective is. So a good example of that is if I do a nightly backup at midnight, but my system goes down at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I have lost all the data from midnight to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So your backup frequency needs to align with your recovery point objectives. You know, most of the major EMR providers, they require that you do at least a snapshot and a backup of that snapshot every 12 hours so that you're only going to lose 12 hours worth of data. So when you're determining your backup frequency, take that into consideration. And you might need to adjust those backup schedules to meet the different needs of your organization and their appetite for how much data can be lost. Sometimes the data can be recreated, but in today's resource-constrained world, it's important to be able to retain as much data as possible because it can often be very difficult to recreate that. So with Veritas, we have a long history, over 30 years of being able to protect your data from the largest environments in the world to the smallest environments of the world. Being able to understand and support legacy operating systems, which has been very important in healthcare, quite frankly, there's a number of applications that simply there is no replacement for. Some of them have embedded Windows 95 on it, even going back. I know some IV pumps and systems I've actually had to segment off of my network because there was no update available. And I think the IoT and the medical devices and the security around those is becoming more and more relevant as we become more and more automated with our healthcare and our healthcare monitoring systems. But regardless of your storage platform, regardless if you're a physical environment, if you're highly virtualized, even if you're using the cloud, we can help give you visibility to that data, the ability to protect that data and confidence that that data will be recoverable. And when it comes to scalability, no one can match our capabilities to be able to scale up as your environment grows or scale out as your environment grows. And to give you the option, whether you want a cloud deployment model or an on-premise deployment model or any type of hybrid approach there, we can be there to help ensure that we are protecting all of your data and all of your critical workloads. Now, number three, a zero trust model and policy must be deployed throughout your organization. Now, I've had a lot of interest in this. In fact, when we developed our technologies, it was built with zero trust from the beginning. When NetBackup was created, it was created when we were under Symantec, a security company. So we had all these tenets in place way before the requirement. Now, just recently, there's an executive order that's requiring all federal governments and federal agencies to have a zero trust model and to share the data. Now, personally, I was a little bit shocked that the groups like NSA and the cybersecurity group and the FBI weren't sharing information in advance, but now they are required to. But they're also requiring all the people that work with them to have this zero trust model. And there's several components of zero trust model. The first and foremost is having good identity and access management. And you can accomplish that with multi-factor or SAML. And what that does is that allows you to verify that who you are who you say you are. So it's not just something that you know, it's something that you physically have. And you'll see we built into our products even multiple identities to be able to do very protected and restricted access, such as deleting an immutable copy. It requires multiple people and multiple modes. Also, encrypting your data at flight and at rest is very critical to being able to protect that. That helps you achieve your HIPAA compliance and also making sure that nobody can see the data that's not required to see the data. We build our appliances with an intrusion detection and intrusion prevention system. Our appliance customers have been 100% recoverable. Knock on wood. I hate saying that because I'm a gambling man, but they are 100% recoverable. And that's because the appliance is built with a specific purpose to where the bad guys can't get in. And if they can get in, they don't get anywhere. We put this out to white hat hackers every year and offer them $50,000. And they, to date, have not been able to crack this. This has put us head over heels heels above the competition with ransomware. But it's not just ransomware it protects you from. It protects you from any other zero-day vulnerabilities. So even if, and as we say nowadays, when this stuff gets into your environment, you can at least be able to back it up. And the bad guys with the modern ransomware techniques, they specifically target the backup workloads. They are doing what we call a pane of glass attack, where once they get in, they sit idly or quietly in your environment to be able to understand where your clinical systems are, to be able to understand where your revenue systems are, and to be able to identify and ultimately delete or encrypt those backup workloads. Then we get into more advanced technologies, such as immutable image management and storage. And it doesn't matter whether it's on-premise or in the cloud. And we'll talk more about that in a later section. But having immutable assessment is something that is now being required by cybersecurity insurance companies, and it is the best practice to be able to ensure that you at least have a recoverable. But we don't want to stop there. We need to make sure that we're cyber resilient. I don't want to have any downtime in my clinical environments. And actually, we're starting to see data show up. Vanderbilt University produced the first ever report I've ever seen that correlates a 9% increase in deaths for heart attacks or stroke patients if that organization that they're going to for clinical care is under the ransomware attack. And I think that's very poignant because having been part of many healthcare organizations, the patient always comes first. Cost doesn't necessarily, but now that we can correlate adverse patient outcomes to a reasonable investment in security, that's where we're really going to get a lot of motion and to be able to protect and get our organizations up to date. So number three, zero trust model and policy. So when we talk about zero trust, there's more to it than just setting up your identity and access management. You need to be able to detect anomalies within your workflow. And this is the thing that will give you an early indicator that something's come in, whether it's through a business associate or from an end user that may have been subject to a phishing technique. To be able to have an alert and to be able to capture and segment that information will make the difference between hours of downtime or days, weeks, or months of downtime. At Veritas, we track your backup performance on a day-to-day basis, constantly learning and alerting you to any type of anomalies that happen within that. So this is something that gets better with time, but it's a great way to give you an early indication that there may be malware in your environment. Now, what we look for is these 10 specific features, right? Being able to identify or alert on any changes of significance and eliminate the false positives to things like the backup time. If the backup is taking exceedingly amount of time, that could be an indicator that it's a new file or that it's encrypted. Deduplication ratio is also a very good indicator of an infection, right? We have typically between 90 and 95 to or better percent deduplication on files. And if we come in the next day and we see that what was typically deduped at 90, 95% is down to 30 or 40%, that's a good indicator that either there was massive changes to that data overnight, or more than likely it's been encrypted and it looks all new to us. So by tracking all this stuff over time, it gives you better control of your environment and early indicators to be able to mitigate that risk. And when we talk about risk mitigation, we, like all others, employ an artificial intelligence to be able to take over 50,000 different unique data points and to correlate that against what's expected in traditional performance to be able to compare for baseline, but current and future type of performance. And by looking at that historic trending in those risk APIs, we're able to tell you if something is bad within your environment much quicker than others. And it doesn't just end with the products that are embedded into the NetBackup tool. There are other products within our portfolio that do a fantastic job of being able to identify ransomware. Data Insight is a great tool that has traditionally been used to be able to identify PHI within your environment. Not only can it crawl your environment, but it can look within the files themselves to be able to flag for things like social security number or medical record number to make sure that they're being protected in the proper space. But it's also a great tool for being able to look for known malware extensions that haven't activated as yet. Aptar is a tool that we've added to our portfolio that provides you with a true data analytics view of your environment. It will be able to flag and alert you on any anomalies regarding CPU, IO, all these things. Any changes of these are also very good indicators that you've got some malware within your environment. And it really moves us from the point of being reactive to an infection that is ultimately going to come to being involved and engaged at the time of the infection to be able to minimize the impact to our environment. But, you know, it's important for us to say that we're part of the solution, right? There's a lot of other layers that need to be considered, like endpoint protection, being able to protect your perimeter. And we'll go through some of that in the cybersecurity playbook that we'll introduce you to today. Number four, network segmentation and the 3-2-1 backup rule. Having your network segmented from production in different areas is a great way to be able to contain an infection, right? And what I've actually experienced this with a zero-day vulnerability with an organization that I worked with, where even though we had all the protections in place, it somehow got in there and our virus signature file didn't have it. So I had to leverage the network to be able to contain it and the network sniffer technology to be able to capture the file, to be able to send it to my data protect or my security vendor so that they could update that signature file and get it back to me to be able to protect it, right? So make sure that you secure your copies with multi-factor authentication. In fact, with the best practice, with that one copy that's kept off-site, we recommend that that is securely and severely locked down so that the bad guys cannot get to it, and at least you have the ability to be able to bring that back and recover your environment. With endpoint visibility and true data analytics, you can have full and real-time control of your environment. You can know when processors or storage I/O is running out of control. And that's good, not just for being able to identify malware in your environment. That's good for being able to manage the performance and output of your environment. It also gives you full visibility and allows you to identify when new data sets are created that aren't brought into a backup scenario. Trust me when I tell you the worst feeling in the world is when you have some sort of outage or some sort of impact, and you find out that you're not backing up data. So having a tool out there that will proactively identify what data is there and alert you if it's part of a data protection platform is invaluable. That makes sure that you're protected. Similarly, being able to monitor your critical applications and your critical data for users. There are many of our customers that use Data Insight to be able to protect their formularies, for example, where they get $200 million a year in formularies for creating Remdesivir, for creating these new things that are fighting the pandemic. Well, they want to protect that intellectual property. Well, that same technology that we use to protect that intellectual property can also help protect them from ransomware as well. Number six, immutable and indelible storage. It's funny how this has come up within the past 2 years, and it seems like everybody's got an immutability storage. But what I'm here to tell you is that immutability is not the same across all platforms, right? So immutable storage and immutability in general says that once I make a copy of this, it cannot be changed. It cannot be deleted until a time frame has passed. When we see this implemented in technologies today, we see that almost all the companies have the ability to create an immutable copy, but they are relying on the time source that is built within the environment. So a perfect example of that is the Scripps attack, where they had an immutable copy with Commvault. They stored it on a data domain and it shouldn't have been able to be deleted, but the hackers are smart. The hackers went in and changed the NTP, the time source, and that showed those backup copies as being expired, and then they deleted them. Veritas is the only solution on the market today that has its own protected and internal immutability timer, which means that unless that timer is expired or you follow an enterprise compliance change, that you cannot delete or alter those files so that you have protections regardless of what's going on within your environment. And when we talk about immutability, there's several different solutions for that, right? Whether it's a primary backup or an error replication, we have immutable storage management. And we have immutable storage with the Flex appliance with the software. Both of those will give you the capability of that compliance timer that cannot be altered. But we also introduced what I like to call the war games protection. In order for an enterprise immutable copy to be deleted, let's say that you originally put a backup policy that you wanted to keep it for 7 years, but after a lot of time and analysis, you realize you only need to keep it for 2 years. So you want to clear up all that storage and delete the 7 years and only keep the 2 year copies. In order to be able to delete or change an enterprise copy, we require two separate people with two separate factors to insert their keys, to turn them at the same time, and then to get a one-time password for us to be able to delete that. That is the best practice in terms of making sure that your immutable copies are protected. And with that, we're able to provide a lot of security against both logical and physical attacks, right? With the combination of the hardened and robust and protected appliance, an immutable copy, and then a good organizational process that we'll work with you to implement, you can be sure that your data is protected and that you can at least be able to recover. With the appliance, there's a number of hardening and protection measures that we've taken. And again, they are 100% recoverable to date. No one has been able to hack those. So with number six, immutable and indelible storage, this is a sample architecture that will show you at various types of approaches, how the NetBackup master server will communicate with the media server and to orchestrate that immutable copy. And with that immutable copy comes the mode, whether it's in a compliance mode that cannot ever be changed, or whether it's an enterprise mode that you have the capability with that war games type of two-person approach, that can be stored on the Flex container on the platform of your choice. And there's a number of options for that. We see a lot of customers, they may not have an out-of-region disaster recovery site, right? So they might only have be a regional hospital. You can leverage the cloud to be able to keep that offsite or tertiary copy of your data, and we can still lock it down with that immutable compliance timer on AWS and soon to be on Azure. And what that does is that gives you the capability to be able to have confidence that you have a copy off of your location that can be brought back on premise, and then you can start recovering your environment. So number seven on the top 10 list, and that's rapid recovery, right? Everybody can offer you the ability to recover. But what Veritas has done is we've been able to move from what I like to call insurance. You know, as a former CIO, I didn't really care much about backup. I saw it like insurance, like auto insurance. It's a necessary cost of doing business. It wasn't exciting. It wasn't clinically focused. It wasn't patient focused, but it was something that we all had to do. What Veritas has been able to do is we've been able to take that very mundane and necessary action of backup and to put it into something that really does matter, which is recoverability, right? I do care about how quickly I can bring my organizations up. I do care about the patient care impact of applications being down. With Veritas NetBackup, we provide an orchestration. We call it Veritas Resiliency Platform that will not only give you the ability to test your recovery, but to be able to provide a sequence of recovery steps. And this is something that has been invaluable for our customers, because when you have an environment of thousands of systems, some of them virtual, some of them bare metal, some of them in the cloud, you need to be able to recover those. And it allows you to be able to take the intelligence and requirements within your organization to architect and orchestrate that in advance of an outage. And what I mean by that is if you have any type of three-tiered application, it's smart enough to know to bring the database layer up before it brings up the application and before it opens up all the client access servers. And it can pull that out of the backup image, and it can meet the RTOs and RPOs that you have defined within your organization. But there's something even better. We have implemented a fire drill technology that allows you to press a button and to be able to prove what your recoverability, what your recovery time would look like, and to be able to run test drives that are completely non-obtrusive, right? It allows you to be able to demonstrate that you can fail over within X amount of time and to prevent a report for that. Some of the leading EMRs are actually incorporating the requirement to be able to do failovers at least every 12 months, actual failovers, and read-write failovers every 18 months. They're leveraging Veritas NetBackup to not only be able to prove those failovers, but to be able to architect it. And what you'll see in later stages is that having the forethought to be able to have conversations with your organization around this has to be up first, or this can be up later. And to be able to meet those objectives in a dynamic environment is crucial. I know what it's like. We are constantly over here changing production, but how many times do we forget about altering DR over here? So that when it comes time, even being able to fail over, this environment looks different and there's impact that. With fire drill, you can on a routine basis be able to demonstrate this. And I recommend that you test and validate after any major production change. You know, that's just the way to be able to do it. And with rapid recovery, every application isn't the same. Most of the time we have these conversations with customers, and it's interesting because what starts out as a huge fear of ransomware and even board level objectives. I'm talking $7, $10 million allocated by the board getting reported on a weekly basis turns into really what the intent of HIPAA all was. Since 1996, healthcare has been required as critical infrastructure to be resilient. And I tell you, once you take the necessary steps to be resilient against ransomware, guess what? You're resilient to all other zero-day vulnerabilities. You're resilient to hurricanes, to wildfires, to floods, you name it. And then we work with customers to help them go through this evolution, go through this modernization, if you will, to define out which applications are critical and what those downtimes and recovery point objectives are. Here's a perfect example of how not every application is created equal. Personally, within my practice, I have a tier zero, which I call command and control, that has to be running at all times. A good example of that is like DNS or Active Directory or authentication. Those need to be synced and synced real time and available on both the DR and the site at all times. The tier one applications could be defined as less than 5 minutes, and we have the technologies to be able to do that. In general, we see most RTOs and RPOs within healthcare between 1 and 2 hours for a tier one, and then 2 to 4 to 8 hours for a tier two. And depending on those requirements, we have the right technology to be able to provide that level of availability. If it's a critical tier one application, you want to have real-time or near real-time failover. And that's where our InfoScale technology comes into play. For other applications, you can use Veritas Resiliency to bring them up in a very predictive manner, right? Some of and other applications, you know, they don't change so often. Client access portals are a good example of that. They don't change very frequently. So being able to take that backup image from last night and be able to recover it is going to provide the exact type of recovery point and recovery time that many organizations know. But when you look at the complexity of the environment, having a single dashboard to be able to recover service lines, entire service lines, we're not talking just the EMR, but the EMR and the 40 other affinity applications that go with it. And to be able to recover that in a predictable manner is exactly what the industry needs, not just to be resilient for ransomware, but to be able to live up to the 1996 HIPAA requirement to be resilient and to have a recovery. With that being said, we see many different models on this. I have some customers that they're doing full EMR and clinical application deployments in the cloud. Most other customers are somewhere in between, but many of our customers host their own environment. But what I've seen, especially during the pandemic, is we're getting much more approach and much more impact and usage of the cloud because we found that traditional procurement methods really don't work. Think about it. When you had surge needs or additional surge testing needs in your environment, did you have 2 months to wait for a procured piece of server to be delivered and provisioned? No. So with that, we've been able to provide the recovery capabilities within the cloud of your choice. This is an example of AWS to be able to give you full flexible options. And with this, we've also been able to reduce your disaster recovery expenses by as much as 70%, depending on your risk aversion. And I've seen many environments where they can have their DR environment within the cloud that is just on demand, meaning they see a hurricane coming, they operate it out of the cloud during the hurricane. When the hurricane's over, they press another button and they fail it back. And all of this through a single point of glass, right? And that moves us to number 8. Regular testing and validation is critical to be able to orchestrate your recovery. And having that done in advance is critical to having a resilient thing. I personally have had experience where with hurricanes, you know, we have critical personnel and they're expected to be there to ride out the hurricane with us. But things happen, right? People get flooded out. I might not be able to have my Unix administrator there. Well, the best protection to not having my Unix administrator there is to have this orchestrated in advance so that any authorized person can press a a button and do those Unix tasks. And also making sure that you can recover your workstation VMs at scale, right? Give your organization an opportunity to understand that not everything can be recovered at once, and let them tell you which priority they are. But it doesn't really matter whether you're recovering workstations or bare metal or physical or virtual. All of those are going to be able to be orchestrated through this same tool, and also to be able to give you confidence in that ability. So moving on to number 9, this is probably where I have had the most fun in years, right? I've been in this industry for over 28 years, but it's very seldom where I get to work with customers to take not just data management, but the entire environment and the entire technology environment to be able to create a cybersecurity playbook. And guys, this is a very difficult task. This is not simple. This involves multiple groups. We're seeing more CISOs work with the CTOs than before, which is fantastic, but we're seeing joint roles to be able to protect the environment. And this is an example of some of the critical discussions you have to have with your organization to even be able to recover from a ransomware event. Some of these things you probably need to remind yourself or have conversations with your organization. But my favorite is talking about a Bitcoin wallet, right? So I don't know if any of you guys have messed with cryptocurrency. I did a couple of years ago because I have a lot of techie friends, and I'll be darned if I'm the only guy that doesn't have a Ferrari if Bitcoin ever hits $1 million. I know it probably won't ever happen, but it was interesting to be able to even set up a Bitcoin wallet. It took 2 weeks. These aren't banking systems. They're not 8 to 5 places. These people don't even have a telephone number to be able to call. So you need to have a conversation with your leadership to say, unless we are absolutely positive that we are not going to pay a ransom, we need to set up a Bitcoin wallet now. You can always add currency to it later, but setting it up takes a long time. And is your organization willing to be down for 2 weeks to a month while a wallet's being set up? And the interesting thing happens when you start having those conversations with your leadership, all of a sudden there's much more interest in being able to get you the resources you need to be cyber resilient. So either way, whether you're willing to pay the ransom or whether you're not, most organizations find that they have to do a combination of both. So there's a lot of things to do to prepare and prevent, but there's also things that need to be done at the time of the infection to be able to execute and contain it before it becomes a huge environment, right? First of all, validate that it is an actual malware, right? Identify what type of malware is used. Different malwares have different type of implications. It's important to be able to have your internal and external communication plans done in advance. And it's important that your networking teams and your security teams know how to work together to be able to segment off and contain that environment to be able to limit the infection, to be able to limit the spreads. And this is something that's very good interaction and exercise to work with your security and your networking teams and your security and your infrastructure teams so that these playbooks are outlined in advance so that they can respond rapidly. And then finally, being able to remediate and recover, and knowing that you have a last known good backup, making sure that you're not recovering and restoring infected files is really critical, right? We have the ability to be able to mount your backups and encourage a nightly scan of that against the most recent signature file. And then to be able to prioritize the recovery of your critical assets. This creates a great engagement between the patient care organizations and the IT systems to where you can give them predictability. Once the network is clean and you want to go back and do a remediation, right? Understand where the infection points and the entry points. A number of these ransomware infections are actually coming from business associates, right? And also business associates can be another extended impact. The Kasera attack is a perfect example of once they got into one service provider, they were able to get into hundreds of others. And so we have to be able to protect our organizations and our partners along that. Finally, I'll wrap up with what I think is one of the most critical pieces, right? So as a security professional, it's always been about CIA, confidentiality, integrity, and availability. But it's also important to realize that no one technology is going to perfectly protect your environment. It's going to be a combination of technologies. It's going to be a combination of policies and practices, and it's ultimately going to be about the people as well, right? So we have to create an environment where it's safe for people to be able to report. One of the most common trends that we see hacking right now is that they will first encrypt a clinician's workstation, and they'll pop up a message that says, pay us $50 or we're going to report you to your security department and you'll lose your job. Well, most people are going to be terrified and they're going to pay $50 because they don't want to lose their job. But that's all just a stall tactic. What they're actually doing is using that stall technique to be able to tunnel in through that employees into the enterprise and the data center to be able to identify where the real data is. So making sure that your team is trained on phishing techniques, and they're able to have an accountable security policy, which both the organization and the staff can work with, but to have also a safe environment to be able to report, because it's better to be told a false positive than it is for people to be afraid for their job and have an infection throughout your entire environment.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information on how Carahsoft or Veritas can assist your healthcare organization, please visit www.carahsoft.com/veritas-technologies or email a representative at veritashc@carahsoft.com. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.